Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. In a moment, Yeshua will be coming into the Gampa to start his Sunday teaching. And if you're not familiar with the way we do things here, should please stand when he arrives out of respect for him and his teachings. Then you'll see most of us prostrate along with him, and you're welcome to do so if you're comfortable. If not, you can just remain standing. We'll be saying prayers from this white prayer book. If you'll get the copy behind you, your chair or at the end of the pew, and we'll be saying prayers on the first bay sheet. And on the next pink sheet on the bottom, we'll be chanting some mantras before the children are dismissed. Geshe-la will be, this morning, on the first session, Geshe-la talked mostly about meditation and also loving kindness and compassion. If you have cell phones, if you please either put them on mute and vibrate or turn them off. And you're always welcome to bring drinks into the Gampa if you like. If you have any questions for Geshe-la, we have a place on the website where you can email them, or you can also fill out one of the little forms near our entrance and put it on his music stand. So we can just sit and settle our minds and get ready to receive the teachings. So if you turn to the first bay sheet in the white prayer book, let's start with Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, the four immeasurables in English, and then in Tibetan. Taya ta omune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta omune mune maha munaye soha. Tayata Om Ne Mune Maha Munaye Soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedevatam to the next page, and let's say the two mantras at the bottom. and Rasik's mantra 8 times and Green Tara mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tadatu Tadatu Re Soha. 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 Now the children are welcome to go to their classes. If they've never been to the center before, if you please accompany your child and fill out a survey form and find out where to pick your child up.
Good morning. Good morning. The majority of our kids in the kid camp, Nolan's Farm, they are having a wonderful time. Seeing cows, horses, chickens, dogs, all kind of things. So the most of the questions I already read at the center. The last question I stopped last Sunday because it's kind of complicated questions. It is about emptiness. Emptiness. I need to repeat everything that I said in the first session. emptiness teachings, teaching about emptiness. Actually, it's like how to. I can't describe, probably I can describe it very well, but no, first of all, it's a very difficult topic. It's actually educating us how to define self, okay? So that's like according to emptiness teachings. Oneself is... When I say one self, it's not you or not me. One self is super exaggerated, okay? Another self is conventional exist. So much energy being spent like to define who is experiencing this, like who is who. Who am I? That's quite... So according to emptiness, we don't understand who am I. We don't know who we are. Anyway, it's kind of funny. Who am I? So that frequently asked when you go to college, the student, they ask, who am I, why I'm here, and where is Buddha? Things like that, questions like that. So who am I? That question be precisely answer through emptiness teachings precisely. One's self is super exaggerated. One's self is conventional exists. So when you think about the true truth, the four noble truth, the true truth is conventional truth, kunzob demba, ultimate truth. Conventional truth is like day to day life reality. So then going beyond that, going beyond or seeing beyond that, called ultimate truth. So that is emptiness, chandam demba, emptiness. I hope I'm not going to confuse you more. I hope. The way things appear, the way things exist, is when it's same, it's called ultimate truth. If it's different, then there's conventional truth. Okay? Nang ne mi juma. Nang means the way you see. Ne is the way it exists. If it's different, then there's conventional truth. If it's same, there's ultimate truth. So then there's the true truth, huh? This year. So these two types of self is very much mixed, super exaggerated self and the conventional self is very much mixed. So emptiness, meditation on emptiness should begin with self. Probably we need to use self as a base. So then all the analysis, research is been done based on self. So the question, this question that is saying like sometimes it feels like it's a mind or something. It is clearly not mind because in Tibetan word we say semba nagdo. Semba na means my mind is aching. Aching. My mind is aching. That clearly shows that your mind is not you. That clearly shows my hand is hurt. My body is sore. So that clearly indicates this is not the body. So there's a lot of questions being raised. Oh, maybe it's body is the self. And then the argument goes, then the debate goes back and forth. Then say, turns out, maybe that's not right way to define self. So then somebody says, how is about the continuation of the aggregate? So there's a lot of debate goes back and forth. So that turns out there's a lot of, they don't have valid base. So anyway, so it's all come down the way things appear, the way things exist. Does it sound complicated? It is complicated. So I think I don't blame you if you think it is complicated. Emptiness does not mean nothingness. It means something very profound that needs to be learned. So Jeffrey Hopkin, Professor Hopkin from UVA, good to read his books. He studied quite a bit. Then there's also one of the Swiss professor. He teaching somewhere somewhere in the United States. So it's called George Dreyfus, and he writes, because when I was in monastery, so he was there, he's been studying there a long time, he knows, when he writes about emptiness, probably he knows, he has knowledge to write about emptiness. Whenever you ask these questions, if you have this very strong question, who am I? So then you read emptiness, about teaching of emptiness. So that should answer, precisely, because so much has been said, so much study has been done, so much has been said. So then, having discussion between scientists and Buddhisms, since 1970s, almost now, many, many years ago, ongoing dialogues between science and Buddhism. So now science education become part of curriculum in the monastery. the number of monks came to Emory College to learn science. So when the science, you know, especially the quantum physics, when they come to the conclusions, when they analyze matters, you know, their conclusions? What is their conclusion? Anybody knows? It's complicated, yeah. Do they say things doesn't exist?
No, they have different theories, actually.
Mm.
It's actually a mixture of things.
Mm-hmm. So if the conclusion is okay, now nothing exists. Not nothing is like when they are experimenting one object, could be particles. If they come to the conclusions that doesn't exist, then Nagarjuna theory of emptiness began from there. That something exists, but the way you search is not the perfect way to search. How things exist, something to exist. So then the Nagarjuna theory of emptiness began from there. You know, that's what I'm saying. Where it appears, the way it exists, if they're different, you are not finding that you are. This is like done, the research is done, been done based on the conventional truth. That's beyond there, something exists. That's called ultimate truth, the second truth. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. So then we'll do some meditations, or some meditation together. So if you are here first time at the center, wondering about maybe like meditations, you know, what is meditations, maybe have some desire to learn. In Buddhism, it's very, very important knowledge is very, very important. We have to learn, you know. So I'm saying this because based on the six professions, teaching of six professions, last two professions, that clearly shows the meanings. The fifth profession is concentrations, samdhe, jishi. Concentrations makes your mind calm, peaceful. Okay, that's why we concentrate. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all. Why we concentrate? I like to have calm mind. My mind has become so wild. You know, a lot of things happen. So I just want to be peace. Saying that that's not enough, good enough, but we have to concentrate. That's why I concentrate. Someday, concentration, jishi, produce calm mind. Out of six professions, there's a number five. Last one, wisdom. Lo you told, wisdom liberates. Very important. Knowledge, no knowledge, no wisdom. No wisdom, no freedoms. From anything. Anything that requires wisdoms. Even trying to, you know, figure this mic out. You know, if this mic is turned off, I just simply sit there, say some prayers, hope this mic will work. It's not going to work. I have to learn how to turn on. Or somebody has to teach me how to turn on. That's called wisdom. Because that's beyond, that's ignorance. It's not knowing how to turn on. So when you learn that how to turn on, you're suffering of not knowing how to use mic, then the frustration, anxiety, all that will be liberated, but simply by learning how to turn on. Yeah, so then they solve these, you know, problems. Okay. So meditations called GOM. Tibetan word is called GOM. Means think. Means to think. If someone said, okay, just sit there, think nothing, that's not easy. Not easy. Yeah, it'll be nice. Just sit there, think nothing. I want to do that too. GOM means think. When you further dig into that word, then it becomes calm. What it means, familiarizations. Not just think again. Why? Experiential understanding means when you think about something, it kind of like transform your mind. Yi is the mind, jur means transform. Nyowa, experience. Experience that kind of transform your mind. In order to get that, one thinking is not good. That's why you need to think again and again. So that's how this morning I said, precious human life. So in order to, when you say precious human life, it means something. It kind of means it moves your mind. So that's, I emphasize this morning, especially, you know, in developing countries. So it's very important. It's been said that life is precious. It's been said 2,500 years ago. It's been repeated after that again and again, again and again, through all these books. What they get, nothing. These old books, free copyright. Anybody can translate. No copyright. Nobody make any money. Most of the Tibetan books, not now, their books are their copyright, but Lamrim, wonderful book, Shantideva's book, Guide to Buddha's Way of Life, all these wonderful books, all these mind training texts, anybody can translate, no copyright. Nobody making any money. Why? Because they don't have intentions to gain any material wealth. Simply just to benefit people, that's all. So, so then you need to think, not just think one thing, again. So precious human life. Lamrim, these wonderful teachings begin. Second topic is precious human life. So you think about this life is not just good, it's precious. It's very precious. It's meaningful. So when, sometimes when people come to you say, Gisela, my life has no meaning, that's not true. Well, that's you are saying is that's not true. No, according to Buddhist teaching, that's not true. So this life is precious. So something that need to, as a Buddhist, that's what you think when you wake up. You think about something that so much positive mind could grow simply thinking about preciousness of this life. So what we call in Tibetan we call Ishinorbu. That means wish fulfilling jewels. It looks like this here. That's supposed to be looks like that according to Tibetan culture. Wish fulfilling jewel is like that. If you have one of them, if you just imagine, pizza will just be there. If you just imagine cheesecake, it will be here, like that. That's called wish fulfilling jewel. Ishinorbu. That's what we call His Holiness Dalai Lama. Tibetan people call him wish fulfilling jewel. If you have 100 of those, your life is far more precious than 100 of those. That's been said, repeatedly said. So, not to just think good about yourself, not just that. According to those, that's not good enough. You have to think that's something very precious, meaningful. So, then, as I said, if you ruin, if you look down, if you abuse, if you have vows, it does not just damage, it will damage from the root. You lose your vows. That's how important it is. So they don't want us to think anything negative. So think good about yourself, not just that, something precious. Why you should think good? Because this has limit. Limit? When I should think good now, why? This limit is uncertainty. So that's why you think now. Okay. So something that maybe each one of us here have responsibility how to share this message with people, our friends. To encourage them to look at to learn the preciousness of this life. Okay, so that's one, what I said this morning. So now back to meditations, okay. I think this morning was 15 minutes before we meditate, because I like to talk. So I never eat anything else. Oh, just joking. So now this meditation. Then now second question is like the first one is, what is meditations? So then how many different types of meditations? There is review meditations. There's like analytical meditations. There's meditation called concentration meditations. Shargum, Chiyagum, Jugum, the three meditations. What is review meditations? Some of you may have saw the monks, they are making mandala, send mandala. This is actually that textbook that associated with that mandala is like probably something like this. Take, you know, it varies based on the mandala. The color chakra probably is going to be like this. And so this, what they do, they just sit. Most of the times, they remember most of the text in their from their heart. They just sit there. They visualize. They built this entire mandala space before them. They built. They know each and every single little thing in the mandala. They know them. Not just know them. They know them very well. Color, what it represents. Many, many hours, their mind is completely occupied by this beautiful palace. That's all you are thinking, something very beautiful. The palace, that's all, that's, you know, your whole mind is completely occupied by that. That's called review meditations. You know? So then analytical meditations, and as I said, you know, then you read, then you choose this specific topic, say precious human life, then you brainstorm why it's so precious. You brainstorm. You know? So much, you know, that we can do because of this form, this form of life, especially this body. The rest of the species on this planet, that we share this planet together, simply cannot do. They can't motivate. So that's called analytical meditation, choosing like whether it's the emptiness, compassion, loving kindness, impermanent, precious human life, you brainstorm. Then when you reach aha moment, that's how they say, I ask. Like, that's it. Now it's like, so say there's like, as an example that I use, like in the grocery store, that you buy this, looks like butter. I can't believe it's not butter. Then one day you will say, I can't believe this is not precious. This is not precious. You can say, I can't believe this is not butter. It tastes exactly like butter. It's hard to believe it's not butter. So now it feels like precious. It's hard to believe it's not precious. So that's good, you know. So that's probably, we can have labels. Let's say, I'm not sure how you write. I'm not sure. I can't believe it's not butter. That's not good. I can't believe it's not precious. So that's then very good. You know, that's like when you reach that moment, that's it. You know, this is so precious. No matter what people say, my life is precious. It's not about what people say. It's about the cause of this life. It's the number wise. So you brainstorm, no, this is precious. There's something I should cherish. I should be happy. You know, think good. When? Now. Okay, that's called analytical meditation. Then concentration meditation, you concentrate. So that is about the meditation itself. So then, second one. Why we meditate? Why we meditate? Why you meditate? Oh, because I go to Kadamba Center. No good. Why you meditate? I never said that you have to meditate. Last 15 years, I never said you meditate. You have to meditate. I never said that. No. I never said that you have to become Buddhist. I never said that. I'm not going to say it again. Long as I remain in Kadamba Center, I'm not going to say it. So if you have interest about meditations, then I feel responsibility to explain why we meditate. So then purpose of meditation. So purpose of meditation. So this morning, what we did? So make sure you know, like when we meditate, make sure our meditation doesn't become like chicken meditation. Chicken meditations. Usually, chicken means chicken meditation means you sit there. Now they have all kind of postcard, even the frog. You see the image of frog meditating. It looks great. You know? Frogs, like, what's your, there's all kind of funny images. That's a good, that is good now. Even animal also mentioned it. Frog, that's a good sign. So then in, in the squirrel in my backyard, they also, you know, sit like this sometimes. On the tree branch, sometimes really like this, you know. And once a while they go like this, but you know, their tail is like there, comes from. I'm not sure what they think. They sit there long time, kind of long time, you know. So the sitting is not, you know, meditation. The animal can also sit, you know. So some bird, they can sit on their 1 foot. So tuba maybe gomjins. Meditator without knowledge is going to be like person without arm wanting to climb the mountains. Therefore, knowledge is important. So now the purpose of meditations, that's very important, including myself. We should all understand, means we sit, the purpose of meditation or power of meditation, less negative mind. That's the purpose. That's the power of meditation, less negative mind. So you have experience, I have experience. So I have rooms, altar room. As a Tibetan, you know, every family has altar room. So there's a special room. You set up altar there. You go there to do some practice. So I go there. I sit down, trying to meditate. Okay? Sit there. Then all of a sudden, Gishi Sambo comes. Right next to my altar room, there's Simon living room. Then Gishi Sambo comes. So then mine's going there. And coming back, going there, going back and forth, back and forth. So then Gishi Sambo turn on the light, and he does something there. And then, then he leaves, and he don't turn out the light. He don't turn out the light. So then my real meditation began. My real meditation began. You know. So then he said, don't he understand importance of saving our energy? So then, like, it's good for environment, then goes on. So then that's how I meditate. So then how many times I have to tell him to turn off the light? How many times I have to turn off the light? That's something that he's responsible for, turning off the light. Goes on and on. Then I finish my meditations. Out of 5 minutes, I did probably 30-second meditations. That's why I don't make any progress at all. No, that's not easy. That's why I'm not making any progress, no? So that's how I meditate. So then you are meditating upstairs. All of a sudden, your friends making some noise in the kitchen, making coffee or whatever. Say, hi, honey. Can you please minimize the noise? I'm meditating. Yeah, I heard this from other people, you know. So, you know, not knowing the whole purpose of meditation is to just to have, you know, positive, kind of say, reduce negative thought. Okay, so that's power of meditation. Gomdob nimuchumas. Less negative mind. Okay. So now we are going to do meditation. Okay. We are going to concentrate on our breath. Our breath, simple way to do. Simple way to do. Early morning is the best time. Simple way to do. What do you do? You sit, please. No, if you're sitting, the back should be straight. Okay, back should be straight. According to Buddhism in Tibet, according to their traditions, your left hand below, right hand above. Then you put like that. Sometimes people does like this. This is no good. You just place on the lap. You know? Comfortable cushions, comfortable body, comfortable mind, good meditations. Okay. Best, I'll start from the positive mind. If not, out of neutral mind. The out of negative mind, meditation is not going to be successful. Okay? Then you sit like that, comfortably. Then you exhale from nose. Inhale. Then you count one. Okay? In your mind. Exhale. Inhale. Two. So then see how many we can count. How many we can count. If you're not sure, if you make a mistake, then you need to start all over again. Okay? So we'll now I'll stop talking. Clear? Exhale from the nose. Exhale. Inhale. Where our focus should be, our focus should be on this number. Exhale, inhale, you count. Exhale, inhale, you count. Okay? Each time you inhale, you count. Okay? That's the way to produce calm mind, peaceful mind. Okay? Calm mind. So that's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Because you concentrate, because you want to have calm mind, peaceful mind. Okay? So then, this morning, this is like placing closely all your mental energy or attentions onto your breath. Okay? Best way to stop thinking. If you become obsessive with some thought, that's the way to stop. You concentrate. That's the way to stop other thought. You think something very precisely with full alertness. Alertness, fresh mind. You are fully alert. Fresh. You think something precisely, other thought will stop. That's the way to stop. If you become obsessed with something, If you are having issue with attachment, then there's another meditation. If you are having issue with arrogant pride, then there's different types of meditation that you can do. This is to stop and to develop concentration to stop. If you are having trouble, then you can say out, in, out, in. So eventually, it has to be very natural. Okay, natural. So now you learn something, you know, some kind of meditation. You can do that in the beach. You can just sit in. People like to sit here in front of the beach. You just sit there. Or you can just think about oceans, you know. You can use visual image. You can use flowers. Or trying to see that, not from the eye, trying to see that from the mind. Trying to see. So there is no concentration. Why you concentrate? Because to produce calm mind, that's all. Not because you come to Katama Center, that's not good reason. So now the goal is no healthy mind, healthy body, happy life. Healthy body, unhealthy mind, no happy life. No, it has to be balanced. No? Healthy body, I also exercise, you exercise, everybody exercise. Even though I've been monks almost all my life, when it comes to physical health, I have to exercise. His Holiness Dalai Lama exercise. No? So that's the way to keep your body healthy. To watch what you eat, you know. So but you know, taking advice is not easy. Especially if someone suggests you to eat the kale, you know. So that's difficult. That's good, but it's difficult. It's not easy, you know. Everything requires some effort, some sacrifice to get somewhere. You know? So then another type of meditations. So according to the teachings, it says we breathe in and out 72,000 breaths we take in and out through our day, one day. 72,000 breaths we take in and out. How much we are aware? In my case, none. Zero. So, so now this is like, this meditation has been invented in Thailand. One of the European monks who is practicing Theravada traditions, practicing that. Being here last 15 years, lifestyle in Tibet, Nepal, India, and here is totally different. Everything so rapidly developing here, you know. Majority of the people are educated, learn, read, can have so many access resources to get into anything, you know. So there, very little education. So then, you know, not just that, then there are so many chores to run, so many, you know, things to do. So then I thought something simple, I should introduce something simple that you can do. For beginner, you do short session, short, not long. When you become so familiar, then long few. Okay, that's how to begin. If you just push, next time when you see meditation cushions, almost feel like throw up, that's not good, that's not skillful. When is the best time to stop? When you feel good, that's the best time to stop. Okay, short, many. Sake of your own happiness, nothing to do with religions. Sake of your own happiness, healthy mind, that's all. Healthy mind, okay? So then this second meditation has been invented in one of the European monks who's practicing Theravada traditions. This is like placing all your mental energy or attention closely on physical movement. In this case, we use our hand, okay? 14 movements, all together, 14 movements. If you learn one hand, then it's applied the same thing. As I said, you have to be alert, fresh, and you have to be present with the movement, okay? If you do like my meditation, probably not make any progress, thinking about turning off light, turning on light, why is not turning off light, and it goes on, then you kind of caught up with all this cycle of stories that you are doing, not knowing what is meditation, you know, like that, okay? So what we do, just sit comfortably here. Can you see? Can everybody see? comfortable cushions, comfortable body with comfortable mind. That's how we start meditations. So there will be 14 movements, okay? First, you sit like this, please, then turn on. Slowly, slowly, with full awareness. The mindfulness is critical. You have to be mindful what you're doing, okay? If you're moving like this, going around the flea market, then that's not good. You know, slowly, slowly. One. With full awareness, okay? Be with the movement. So then, there's one. Then there's two. Then three. Somewhere near the navel. Then four. Five. Six. Then the seven, towards heart, eight, then nine, then put it back, ten, then 11, 12, 13, 14. You don't need to say any prayer, you just sit there, just to do that, to build your concentrations. Totally based on, you know, I say, physical movement. Or you can do walking meditations. Okay, walking meditation is not something that we, Tibetan Buddhist tradition, we don't do. Now, our meditation is more like sitting all the time, you know. So when you explain, it needs to be very, very clear where it's coming from, where it's been invented, because otherwise it becomes like masala. You know masala? Garam masala? Garam masala is like a lot of spice mixed together. Am I right? So that's called garam masala. And when you go to India or Nepal, if somebody is saying your name or there's something, suppose you say your name, then something, then it's garam masala. That means that you are all mixed now. Not clear. So right now, you know, in like Nepal, you know, the Hinduism, Buddhism, all kind of, you know, not remote part, it's all mixed. The people cannot say which is one, which is, it's all mixed. So it's very important for sake of lineage. It's very important to explain where it's come from. Okay. So then, I like to also touch the topic, so maybe something that you can contribute. So, healthy mind. Secular way to develop healthy mind, you know, not based on religious faith, but you know, based on knowledge. So I would like to explain to you, according to Buddhism, how we define love and compassion. So that's what's been discussed. You know, then I also like to hear from your side how you define. So then, universal love, universal compassion. In order to talk about that, so first we have to understand what is love, and what is compassion. According to Buddhism, it's all giving, you know? Giving to that. It has to start from somewhere, but the text suggests it should start from loved one, close one, friend. It's easier. Some hand is easier, you know? Then other hand. Sometimes it's a challenge because when we feel we're so comfortable with our friends, we know they are not going to hurt you, so that you lose your patience very easily. You can, you know, when you go out, then we're trying to present our best. You know? So there's one nickname for that. That's why I said, you know, chupa. Chupa means stomach. Stomach. Not our stomach. Animal stomach. Outside is very smooth, inside is kind of rough. What do you call? Stomach? Yeah. Huh? Do you understand? Yeah. Did you ever see animal stomach? Animal stomach? Oh. It is, but it's something, you know, that outside is very smooth. Smooth, inside is all like, kind of like rough, like grass. The Walmart has, I think, if you go to the, if you want to. So anyway, that's not my point. My point. My point is, chi jam means no outside so smooth. That's exactly that stomach. Outside is no, inside is all like, you know, brush. It's like that inside. Chi jam means nang. Chi jam is outside smooth. Nang su means inside rough. Tribeca, that's called stomach. So within your family and your friends, being very negative, you know, when you go out so nice, calm, peaceful, then we call you, you got the name stomach. It's called nickname, you know, Tribeca. So, so make sure, in order to prevent that, so universal love, universal compassion needs to begin from close one. So now, love. If your friend is struggling to get something, sake of happiness, his happiness or her happiness, not necessarily your happiness, or it could be sometime, you know. So then contributing towards that to get something that he's looking, she's looking to get something, that's called love. Compassion, if your friend is struggling with something, emotionally, mentally, physically, then you're trying to help them to overcome. That's compassion. Is it clear? So now here, so the reason I'm asking you, so then with that understanding, so then you practice from your loved one, so then eventually you do that strangers, then eventually to the person you don't like, so that's become universal love, universal compassion. But it has to start from close one. Why? It's easier. So then here, you know, so people say, I love cheesecake, I love pizza, you know, I love this and that, you know. So then it gets a little bit confused. The cheesecake does not, cheesecake is not struggling to obtain something for sake of happiness. So when you say, I love cheesecake, so that's why I was wondering how you, in your language, what love means, in order to say, I falling in love, what it really means. According to Buddhism, it means, you know, it's not about always about you. If you are one who's saying, I am falling into love, I am falling in love with so-and-so, basically what you're saying is, no, it is about him, or it is about her. It's not always about me. No? So then if your friend is practicing, then it's about you. Not always about him or her. So then, I think according to Buddhism, you can say, I fall in love. Then you can say, because no, it's not just on based on how much money you make, how you look, what kind of position you hold. It's not based on that. It's totally based on that you care. Happiness about that person. That's why you say, I fall in love with that person. So then I was wondering, so do you ever say that I have love and compassion towards my friend? Do you say, here, do people say, I have love and compassion? Oh, there's no negative. Oh, that's good news. I never heard that. No? So I never heard somebody say that, no? But I have love, compassion. So now probably some like contributions we needed, like how there's love, compassion in Buddhism, that's what it means. That means it is about. So then, you know, there's a way to prevent that we don't become like stomach. No. So that's important. That's how to develop. Talking about love and compassion, to understand first what is love, what is compassion, then based on that, then how to practice. So then my way, highway, that attitude will be minimized. It's not my way or highway, it's like both ways, no? It's your way too. It's not just my way. So a lot of argument has been arguments is based on that. A lot of argument, you know, so it's like, oh, that's my my way, you know, that's the importance, you know. Say like, so that's what I call kitchen dharma, you know, in the working in the kitchens, you know. So you, there is a cleaning. My version of cleaning in the kitchens. Your sample version of cleaning the kitchens doesn't match. Big difference. So a lot of, not argument, but you know, a lot of, how to say, unpleasant mind is being generated based on that. So my vision of where things should go, give you some where the version of where things should go, doesn't matter where it goes, long as it goes into the door, that's what matters. So my vision of, you know, all this has to go here, all the glass has to go here, and the rest of that, the plastic or whatever, it goes to, well, up there. When you open that, mix up all mess up, the glass is there, all the mess up. So then, how you feel? There's something there, you made it up. Not like you sit down with the Sambo and you have total discussions, that's what we're going to do. It's not happening like that, it's just you decided, that's what you should do. So that's just an example, you know, that's not in the teaching, that's the day-to-day life reality experience, you know, how we lose our peaceful mind, how we lose our happiness. So I think that's the probably way to minimize that attitude. So maybe you can say something if you like to say something about love. So when you say I fall in love with someone, what it really means, and how you define love, how you define compassion. I was curious to hear what you have to say. Anybody want to say something? Really?
I think that over here, I feel like that love is like a double meaning, has a double meaning to it. Like, I feel like that people have a sense of, oh, they want to provide for other people, they want to care about other people, but then they also include their stuff and they want to care about their stuff. Like, I want to love so that I can be happy. Or they depend, you know, they want to, you know, it's like they put their self in there with the whole love theory. But then I also agree that, like, for what you said that about, it's about them, you know, caring for them and all that. I believe that over here, though, is that they have that theory, but then they also want it to so they can care about themselves. So some people want to feel needed or something. That's something what I've learned in sociology.
The question is how to achieve that. How to achieve that.
How to...
So, like, yeah, you want to be loved, right? How is it? What is that? Maybe I don't understand.
What I was trying to say is that, the theory that you have is that over there is that love is about caring for them. It's for them, like you're showing them love. You're caring for them, not just about yourself. I feel like over here that people like to, the first thing that come in their head, it's not about caring for the person, it's just that I just want to feel needed or I want somebody to love me, or it's kind of more all about them, more so first than all about the other person. Like the original reason that they go for love is for themselves, not for the other people.
That's good, very good. Yeah, so I think we need to hear more from the people. I think, you know, it also benefits me too.
I think in the Western, at least my understanding of how things are, it's a passive experience in the United States or in the West, where it's something that happens. It's not something a lot of times that is actively developed, at least, as I said, in my understanding, in my experience. So, like you say, falling, you know, the Western term is falling in love. It's something that happens instead of something that's sought out, developed, created skillfully.
So I think, Geshe-la, you're talking about selfless love.
No, I'm just talking about love.
Oh, you just talk about love. Well, I was just thinking that, I mean, I think this is what the first gentleman was talking about, which is that I don't know if it's just the West. I come from the East, and I think it's true in the East, too, that we will, when we love someone as in a friend or our spouse or our girlfriend or whatever, we will love them as long as they continue to love us back. Because the minute they leave, we stop loving them. Right? So that's not quite the caring, I want to care about you kind of love that we all aspire to have.
I want to hear from, I have no experience, zero experience.
So, universal love, I think, helps me to with my depression sometimes. And for example, I noticed that when I am depressed, I'm thinking about myself too much, my own problems, my own worries. So sometimes I'll go outside at night and sit on my back steps, and I mean, I look up at the sky and the stars, and it's a very open feeling. And I'm also thinking about the suffering of others, and I think about the four immeasurables, and I think I'm just one person, and there's all these beings out there. But I start thinking about having happiness, wishing happiness and freedom from suffering for other beings. It helps me to deal with my depression. And in terms of romantic love, I think my experience is that I've tried to cultivate the wish for the other to be happy, but there's also some attachment mixed in. So, because I'm still in samsara and have a lot of work to do.
Attachment is afflicted mind. It's a klesha, but it's not non-virtue. So there's no, this is important. So yeah, maybe more contribution. Yeah, so I'm going to stop talking.
I don't know if I can make a good comparison between East and West.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to just speak personally. And that is that I think that love is when you're willing to go through any emotion with another human being. And sometimes it means I don't know how to explain it. Just in the course of loving people in my life, oftentimes I did so at great personal cost. And I always left myself out of the equation. And then I realized I needed to love myself. And I needed to be loved as well. Because then it's not whole. And so in loving the people that I've cared about romantically and the people in my family and then in my child, I realized it's all the same thing. And a lot of times, it's just a gentle thing I do for them. I just let them be. I just let them have whatever it is they need. And not forget about myself, because I have to love myself, because otherwise I'm a fraud to the people around me. I have to show my daughter how to love herself so that she can love other people. Because especially with a child, the words you give that child, the words you... how you talk to that child is how that child talks to another person. So when your daughter, well, my daughter has used the gentlest, sweetest words with just kids and bugs and people and dolls, and I realize that's how you teach love. It's what you give. And a lot of times when I'm about to just explode because my patience is like that, I realize I just have to let this pass and let her have what she needs, or my husband, or whomever is pissing me off. And then it's okay. Then I can get out of the way because it's really just letting them be. And then the more I do that for somebody else, the more I've done it for my daughter, for my husband, for my family, for people who are on the streets or whatever, the more it comes back to me. Because I give it, and then it gets back to me. So, and anyway, that's it.
Any more contributions? I mean, yeah, probably you have so much to offer than me. Yeah.
It's interesting because I kind of hear it all day because I have predominantly boys in my classroom. For some reason, to just spontaneously go, "I love you, Miss Dion." So one day I ask one, "What do you mean? Why do you say that? Why did you say that just now?" And he looked at me with these big eyes, little 4-year-old, and he said, "Miss Dion, you wipe my nose so good." And he said, "And I feel better after." So I think that it depends on where that person is coming from sometimes.
I'll say something, Geshe-la. Yeah, so I was thinking, as people were talking about love, that we are very specific in our language about love. Mm. So that when you say falling in love, you're very specifically talking just about romantic love.
What is that?
So that's when you want a partner, like a spouse. And so when you're falling in love, it's both a, you know, you start to like that person, you start to have concern about them, you want them to like you too, but there's also a physical aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we're talking about loving our friends, that's, you don't fall in love with a friend. You may you might develop love for a friend, but it's very specific language.
And when people, they say, I love myself. I have to love myself. What that means?
You value and respect yourself.
Giving something. So, like, according to, you know, the explanation that I just said, you know, it's love and compassion is giving. It's giving something. So, I think, what do you think? Is it important to talk about? What do you think? You know, like, healthy mind, so then, you know, like, as a friend. So I think it's important to talk about, you know, so it has to begin from somewhere. We can talk rest of our life, universal love, compassion, world peace, universal peace, not having any peace in your mind, in your friend's mind. So that's, like, not realistic. So in order to meditate on love and compassion, we have to understand love and compassion. So it's not a test. I don't want to, you know, it's not an exam that I just want to hear. So let's say, it's not easy things to do. It's easy to say, you know, I love this, I love that, and I love this, I fall in love, but easy to say. But when it's come down to practical level, it's very important we have to understand some level of definitions of love and so that's what I'm saying. You have much more to offer than myself. You know, that's my way of, you know, thinking about love and compassion. You know, that's through meditations. That's what I. Frequently people ask, "Oh, Geshe-la, how do you do meditation? What kind of meditation you should do?" I think everybody should do meditation on love and compassion. And how to do that? As I said, no knowledge, no meditation, no productive meditations. You have to have some knowledge. You know? So then, when this desire to contribute to the persons, the close ones, struggling to achieve something for the sake of happiness, then jealousy, all these things, you know, so that, So then interesting that then somehow do you feel that, you know, like maybe like overgiving. So then you heard this again, you know, so okay, there's nothing to give because well is totally empty of water. There's no water left in my well. I can't, that there's nothing to give. I'm not sure how to explain. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know. So, like, then according to, okay. Sarah's pointing all the time. That's, you know, something that we should have more discussions, you know, how to do. Then we can talk about meditation on loving kindness, compassion. So then you have something to think about when you meditate and you are thinking about maybe your friend, your close one, you are thinking about how to make their life happier, healthier. As a human beings, if you do that, the other person will know that you are being very kind. I don't think that person is going to be very mean to you because you are very kind to them. Right? So going to the grocery store, if somebody is having a bad day, not smiling, kind of like very angry, you try to avoid that person if it's possible. Even in some cases, if there's long line, and the other person who's kind of smiling, happy, kind of like, you know, charming everybody, you don't mind waiting the line to get to the person, no? Yeah, so that clearly shows that. So maybe, you know, giving others, maybe probably you'll get back. So that's, you know, very true. That's why cherishing others, you know, is what happens. Now, at the moment, when you think about may all sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness, that's kind of overwhelming. But that has to begin from something. You can say, oh, may my, you know, friend have happiness, the cause of happiness. That's how we should start. No, may my friend is be free from suffering and the cause of sufferings. You can say that. Then eventually, may the strangers, then may the enemy. So then you can say, practically, you can say, may all sentient beings. Now it means something than just mere word. So I think, you know, that's called, His Holiness says, secular, I say, way of developing healthy mind, set up happy life. Not based on belief. It's practically that, you know, what goes around, comes around. If the, all the time the vinegar goes around, you can't expect the sugar comes around. You know, so that's what goes around. There's something, because of this precious human life, this intelligence is very sophisticated, so you can develop. You can develop, you know? So that's why precious human life. So now I'll stop, otherwise Sarah will lose happiness.
Okay. Let's turn to the White Prayer Book, to the first pink sheet, and read the dedications. But before we start, dedications are also a traditional time to make offerings to the Sangha and Dharma Center. We'll be passing generosity bowls. In case you'd like to make a donation to the center at this time, or there are donation boxes in the lobby if you prefer to focus on the prayers instead. So I'd like to read the prayer list. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. All the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Venerable Sophia Sue, Frank Ferreira, Kathleen Fleming, Herbert Greaves, Allison Haar, Sam Rainey, Mamie Stark, Barney the dog, Chelsea the cat, Ivy the dog, Cook the cat, Mikey the dog, Oakley the dog. Job search, Daniel Dimitrov. Prayers for health and well-being, Kyabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Wayne Brannon, Susan Daniel, Mildred Gooch, Allison Haar's family, Ken and Annie Hassel, Sharon Hill, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Shelley Miller, Ian Mahler, Adrian Oliver, Jay Pandya, Aunt Polly, Chuck and Faye Renard, Jason Lee Roman, Ruben Family, Dr. Albert Sants, Greg Shario, Rosemary Cease, Barbara Sloan, Maria Stallnaker, David Allen Slanger, Mike Truffer and Sue Clifton, Dion Washington, Kathy Wormser, Judas Wormser, Betsy Yop, Scooby the Dog, Teddy the Dog. If you have any names you'd like to add, would you please say them now? May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicine be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Tenreiziv Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serves the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Yeah, thank you. Have a nice weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.